Okay, so it's December 3rd, 2014. I'm Rick Hansen, and I want to talk about intentions, but I want to talk about it in a certain kind of way. So to sort of introduce this idea, it is said that as the Buddha traveled across northern India 2,500 years ago for a 40-year teaching career, routinely, the first thing he taught was generosity. And the way that that's commonly framed in Buddhist settings and probably other settings as well is, in effect, a plea for generosity or a pitch for generosity. You know, please give. And I really want to reframe that and reverse that and call your attention to all the generosity that you're already manifesting. All the giving that's already happening, just every day. You know, giving of attention, giving of heart, giving of restraint, giving way for the other person to make their point or to move ahead in line, letting them have the last super sweater on super duper sale. Just. You know, there are so many kinds of giving. And so I want to draw your attention to all that outflow of generosity that's already happening. And why do that? So I want to use a different analogy here. I don't know if you've ever thrown the I Ching, this Chinese oracle system. And it's done in different kinds of ways. You can do it with sticks or you can do it with coins. The basic idea is you probably know in that, you know, Taoist system is that there are two great principles, yin and yang, described in different ways. Yin being described often as earth, receptive, yielding, sometimes feminine as a quality. Yang described as heaven, active, penetrating, sometimes masculine. And so you can form a hexagram of six lines, as you probably know, which are each either straight or unbroken, yang lines, or divided, broken, they have a receptive hole in the middle, yin lines. See the basic idea? It's kind of all you need to know for my purposes here. What's really interesting is that when you throw coins, which is a simple way to do it, to decide on six throws, what are the six lines you create? The way that it's commonly done is that heads are considered to be yang and tails are yin. So you kind of understand what you're doing. You can obviously see this is completely arbitrary, but who knows? Maybe we're lining up with the force, right? Okay, I've been doing the I Ching off and on with great respect for about 40 years, and it's been profoundly useful to me. So when you throw the coins, so we have two heads, let's say, and one tail. Two yang surfaces up and one yin surface up. So what do you think that becomes? And if you know the answer, don't say it, please. But if you don't know the answer, what's the first obvious guess? 2-1. Two heads, one tail, two yang lines, one yin line. Majority rules, right? That's kind of the obvious approach. But of course, it's the exact opposite because those Chinese Taoists were really clever. And their point is that that which dominates in a situation moves to the background. And that which is the exception moves to the foreground. And thus, in terms of the character of the line, determines the nature of the line. And that broader point about figure and ground, about how what is most prevalent recedes from awareness. And what's actually in the minority, the exception, pops forward, is very powerful for us. And my argument here, my view here that I'm offering, is that positive intentions predominate in human life. Most of your intentions every day are positive. But because they're the predominant, pervasive, pervading element, that which is the exception to the rule is what we pay attention to. The craving, if you will, the negative intentions that manifest. And I want to draw our attention, picking up on the Buddha's emphasis on mindfulness. I talked about sustaining mindfulness of breathing in the meditation, being aware of arisings and passings away, he talks about. Can we do that as well with good intentions? And what happens when we do? So I invite you here to reflect on some of your own good intentions and what happens when you recognize, wow, that was a good intention. Or, oh, I had a good heart there for that. Or, oh, I was leaning in a wholesome direction in that regard. What happens when you feel that in yourself? I notice what happens in me when I have a felt sense in the moment of a kind of ordinary good intention, an ordinary inclination towards something positive. When I'm in touch with that, my craving and my suffering falls away because I'm not disturbed in that moment. There's a kind of ease or coming home when we have a feeling for our own goodwill, good wishes, good desires, good plans, you know, positive inclinations and so forth. It's really quite powerful. You know, we tend to be really caught up in the exceptions. You know, think of it like the sky. The sky is mostly empty, but we really fixate on the cloud, right? So the cloud, let's say, is the bad intention, the negative intention, ill will toward other people, you know, desiring something that's not good for us or good for other people. We tend to focus on that. And when we do that, it becomes weirdly self-fulfilling. Focusing on that bad intention makes us feel bad, so we enact more bad intentions. In a funny way, recognizing the sky, not the cloud, the sky of good intention helps us be gooder and gooder people. Right? So I want to give you some examples of that. First point is to recognize that intentionality, goal-directedness, happens at all levels of the psyche. It happens in the body where we kind of shift away from pain. You know, we sit in a more comfortable way. It happens kind of intuitively, interpersonally. You know, we get kind of close to someone and we feel like we're invading their space a little bit. We ought to back up a little. We respect that about them. So there are all these levels of intentions operating, only a small fraction of which have a feeling of, I intend that. But just because there isn't that quality of, you know, I deliberately do this or I deliberately don't do that, doesn't mean there aren't intentions there. You know, a powerful metaphor for me about the psyche is to imagine it as a vast estate with, or a vast country with a capital city. It's kind of the ego eye, but all these provinces. And there's a lot of goal-directedness. There's a lot of wanting and aiming and inclining out there in those provinces. So it means including for yourself the good stuff that's happening or inclining from those provinces out there too. So you get the idea? It's like an architecture of intentionality in the body-mind altogether, a lot of which is unconscious, but it's still real. A second point about it is, for me, as you probably know, a map that has become increasingly central and useful for me has to do with the brain's evolution in terms of, loosely, reptile, mammal, human, brainstem, subcortex, cortex, loosely related to three key needs that we all have: safety, satisfaction, connection. It's kind of a map. So it's a way of thinking about intention. You know, if you're trying to avoid threat, avoid harms, that's a safety process. And there's a lot of good intention about that. Oh, lock the front door. Oh, it's raining. Check the V-ditch in your backyard, because if it's blocked, there'll be water in your living room in 5 minutes if you live in my house, right? Safety. Oh, I better open the bills to pay folder because it's starting to get thick, you know? Oh, I should go see that doctor. Oh, earlier today I had a blood stick, you know, a blood draw to kind of do an annual physical, no big deal, right? Safety. We have safety intentions, and we have lots and lots of good safety intentions, and including promoting the safety of others, Another heading is satisfaction, ordinary pleasures. We want to help the little body have fun, you know? Put on a nice cozy shirt rather than an icky scratchy one. That's okay, right? You're thirsty, drink water. That's a good intention. See, I'm trying to expand the space of like recognizing the sky we tend to take for granted. All these good intentions all day long. Putting on the good music, you know, there you are in your playlist. I don't like that song anymore. Next song. Oh, more pleasure for me. Nice little body. Okay. And then, of course, we have intentions socially all the time. We have all kinds of intentions, including, you know, desires to help the body feel, to help the social animal over here feel special to others. Or I was talking with someone earlier today about how we react to the desires of others for what's called narcissistic supplies. You know, all those little things that people do to impress us, right? Or to make us think that they're kind of cool. And how do we react to that? You know, well, we do it ourselves, and within a reasonable range, can we be kind of at ease about it? And, you know, as Ken Kesey put it a long time ago, feed the hungry bee. Anyway, so we have intentions socially. We have lots and lots of good intentions socially, including intentions that we might feel a little embarrassed about. But if we could give to our friend what we're trying to get for ourselves in that moment, we would consider that benevolent toward our friend. Well, it's benevolent toward ourselves. See? Okay. So using that then as a kind of map, right? Trying to become more mindful of the sky of good intention, because it's good for us to do that. We become nicer when we're grounded in, oh, yeah, I tried hard, you know, it didn't always work. Under the heading of becoming more mindful of that sky, and using this little map, if you like, safety, satisfaction, connection as a way to track intentions, I have four practical suggestions, and then I want to see what you think. So the first suggestion is to really be mindful of good intentions in other people. And remember, I'm using that word intention loosely. Wants, desires, plans, inclinations, many of which are unconscious. You know, I find for myself, when I really look past the surface of what the other person's doing, there are almost always good intentions behind it. Even if what they're doing is, for me, problematic. They're seeking safety, one way or another. They're seeking satisfaction, one way or another. They're seeking connection, one way or another. Those three great needs, right? We can learn a lot about ourselves observing the intentions of other people. Think about someone that you have difficulty with or conflict with. You know, holidays often are that time where we get kind of put up close with other people that we may love, but they also drive us crazy, right? So maybe, or maybe we don't even love them, but anyway, they still drive us crazy. So, you know, like what happens when you bring someone to mind that you have a struggle with or you don't like? If all else fails, think about someone whose politics you don't like, you know, maybe on a news network you don't like. Whatever works for you. And then see if you can feel past that. You know, what are those good intentions? Even in someone who, wow, is really a difficult person for me. It's really powerful to do that, isn't it? Right? So, and then, of course, just seeing good intentions in other people routinely. Like, it's really interesting just to walk through this room and just kind of very rapidly track in good intention or good intentionality in other people on a time scale of seconds. Because in the mind, pretty easily, you can have four events a second, really easily. So if you imagine slowing it down a little bit, just like, wow, it's like we're moving through a sky we hardly notice, a field of good intentionality of other people in most settings. I'm sure there are exceptions. I'm not trying to deny bad intentions or certain situations which are really horrible, harsh, even evil perhaps. But on the whole, man, we just move through a whole field of good intentionality most of the time. Okay? So tracking good intentions in others. Second is tracking good intentions in yourself. It's weird stuff, little stuff, like where do your eyes move? And, you know, frankly, if you think about where do the eyes alight, what if to that other person, if you started staring at that thing past, you know, 1 or 2 seconds, would they like that? Would that be helpful to them? And maybe you notice that, no, I don't do that. My eyes keep moving, right? You might notice that you're continually making efforts of various kinds. I'm coming here to meditate. I'm sitting up straighter. I'm bringing my attention back. My body is not comfortable. I move to help it be more comfortable. I try to have insight. I try to understand things. Maybe my results are misguided, but I'm trying. You know, really, not like a little kid. I'm trying. Well, what I mean by that is in a sense of making up a story, but actually, we are trying most of the time. So recognizing good intention in oneself. The Buddha talked about wise intention in 3 ways. That's a little bit of a map as well. He talks about letting go of ill will. Just letting go of, you know, ill will toward other people. You know, compassion for others, letting go, putting things in perspective. Being assertive as we need to be without being vengeful, without dehumanizing the other, without forgetting that they love their children too. These are all different kinds of good intentions we might have for ourselves. Just getting out of bed in the morning when you want to stay in bed. All the little things, like brushing your teeth or, you know, putting the knife and the fork kind of on the plate in a way that's aesthetically pleasing. Picking up something that spilled or tipped over. It's all okay, you know, right? Okay, so you see that too? It's really a wild thing to be mindful of your good intentions all throughout the day. Buddha talks about mindfulness that's ongoing. Sitting, standing, sleeping. He has these long lists, including going to the bathroom. And what about mindfulness of good intention as a practice, a personal practice? Third suggestion is to give yourself credit for your good intentions. Feel them. The Buddha has a line, you know, find gladness in your goodness. For one, it's happy. For two, it keeps motivating us down that road. So how much credit do we give ourselves for our good intentions? You know, I notice inside myself that something that I'm kind of stoic and I just plow ahead and I just get the job done. I joked with my wife once, you may have heard me say this. I said to her once, honey, I don't care how I feel. Why would I care how you feel? I was making fun of myself in the process, but it's like that, you know, and it's so easy to lose sight of that. Like, oh yeah, I'm trying hard, whatever. You know, oh yeah, I'm disciplined, whatever. Oh yeah, I'm restrained, whatever. Oh yeah, I make myself exercise, whatever. Oh yeah, I keep working away, you know. Oh yeah, whatever. But no, instead, feel it. That's my third suggestion. Give yourself credit for your good intentions. Like how many times a day do you feel like, oh, goodness here. Oh, goodness here. Oh, wow, that's really powerful to do that. Just try that for a minute straight, authentically. Just go, yeah, goodness here. Not perfection, not sainthood, but perhaps saintliness. And then the fourth suggestion I have is, of course, to give over to our good intentions. You know, a lot of the time we struggle to control our bad intentions, right? Down doggy, down spot, right? And there's a place for that. There's a place for restraint. But what about giving over to our good intentions? You know, like kind of a good intention to be loving. Have a kind of lovingness radiating from you. I think about these sort of like Wi-Fi base stations. You know, the ones like little flying saucers or little things, you know, they send signals out. What about, you know, just kind of giving over to your own natural kind of caringness, lovingness, wishing wellness? It's okay. Wow. Or, you know, giving over to learning as a good intention. Oh, learning. Learning more. Oh, yeah, developing. That's a good one. Yeah. Or, you know, giving over to sobriety. Or giving over to a kind of caretaking of the body in terms of health practices or exercise. Right? Or giving over to awe. Like, what an amazing life this is. Or giving over to, in a very profound way, to offer a quotation here, let go and know you are Buddha. Wow, that's a real giving over, isn't it? Giving over to letting go and, you know, sustaining some sense, some awareness of that kind of profundity and stillness and peace at the core of every one of us. Pretty good. So that's kind of my take. And I think just to sum up, the crux of it is the happiness in it, right? That's, I think, our guide. Because I think that you know that if you relax and kind of go, wow, all this good intentionality, negativity is the exception, not the rule. Got to manage my negativity, okay, fine. But on the whole, there's all this goodness, there are all these good intentions. Wow. What happens when you feel that? And I bet that's pretty happy for you. Okay. What do you think? What are your good intentions? Or what happens when you recognize good intentions? Yeah. Or what doubts do you have about your good intentions? Please, yeah.
I'm working on a project, and one of the things that I was thinking about was the finances of it, trying to bring in money. And then I'm part of it as a blog, and it was suggested to me that I rethink my values and when I started the project and what I was doing it for. And then I took a course in blogging, and they said that your blogging should be a gift to the people who come to your site. It shouldn't be a way for you to sell your product. And it was a whole reframing in a really like, okay, what I really want to do is educate and have people learn more. And that made me feel so much less overwhelmed by it.
Yeah.
And feel so much like, okay, that I can do. Like, that much I can do my best. And it made me feel much happier than when I was trying to like aim toward the financial aspects of it.
That's great. Thank you. What a beautiful example. You know, giving over to your own givingness. And it's so much easier. Yeah, that's great. Thanks. Yeah.
Oh, it just came up to me, what is it? What is the space between good intention and bad intention? And when does that happen? And is there a benefit to having no intentions at a particular time? Yeah. And I thought, well, maybe that's what meditation is.
Mm.
But then I thought, well, when we meditate, we really have an intention of meditating. And I don't know, we always have an intention.
Yeah, I think I get you. And I've played with that myself as well, you know. And I think about the frame, right? So in the frame, we have intentionality gets us here. We sit down. Inside that, we look to let go. Let's say, of intention and knowing and doing, right? And so, but it's within a frame, definitely of some kind of intentionality. But I think that's, you know, it's, I think that there's just, you can't live without goal-directedness. It's all kinds of levels. You know, the heart is goal-directed to pump, right? And, you know, just, the brain is continually cognizing, it's continually knowing, like, what is this, what is that? And that's, it's, people talk about, that's goal-directed, that's bad. Well, not having goals is a goal, right? So there's just kind of no way out of it, the way I look at it. And I think, if you, as you well know, Tom, one of the main contributions of the Buddha 2,500 years ago was to really emphasize the element of intention, distinct from just robotic behavior. Behavior alone didn't matter particularly for him. It was the intention behind it, you know. And so he really brought the focus into the inner life from the outer one of just simply doing empty rituals, or could potentially empty rituals, right? Isn't that kind of remarkable? And so intentionality is really important. It's really important. And, you know, I just think it's remarkable to reflect on the truth. Like, wow, most of my intentions, most of the time, are good intentions. Like, that's true for you. Wow. I have a good intention to recognize good intentions. Yeah, please.
Well, recently I thought I had a really good intention, and I was very excited about it, and I put it out, not too well, but I put it out, and wow, it was crashed down, not accepted at all.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, I've been spending the next 2 weeks saying, what was behind my intention, you know? What was I not looking at as to why I put that out as something good, you know? And so I find that that even that is a good intention, that it happened that way, and now I have this work to do to see where I wasn't looking deeply enough, maybe, at what I put out, and that there was something in it for me that I hadn't looked at enough.
Yeah, I think that's very fair, that sometimes, if I get you right, that we become aware that our intentions have been mixed, right? Absolutely. And sometimes when things backfire, we realize that deep down there was some other intention mixed in. I think that's true. On the other hand, like, I can think of relationships I have where, you know, things happened years ago, and that created problems with that person, let's say. And what's really, I don't know about you, like, which way do we err? Do we err on the side of really working ourselves over for our bad intentions and our jerkiness and stuff like that? I tend to err on that side. Maybe I'm not alone. Sure, I think some people tend to err on the side of never recognizing how they screwed up. But most of us, that's not our primary problem, you know? And I know for myself that it actually helps me be more peaceful and also more skillful with these people. When I own and let myself really feel the ways that I had good intentions in that situation, even if the way I pursued them was really stupid or unskillful in retrospect, you know? And it's kind of like, that's a path to forgiving yourself too, is to recognizing what your good intentions were. So you might, again, think about this in really practical ways, in key relationships. What happens if you really have a kind of sweetness for yourself? You know, as you know, I joke about, in terms of our three needs, safety, satisfaction, connection, pet the lizard, feed the mouse, hug the monkey, you know? And there's embedded in that is a kind of corny but very sincere sweetness. And, you know, recognizing our own good intentions, our own goodness, embodies that sweetness for ourselves. And see what happens when you play with that. Yeah, please.
I've always found a powerful practice for me is to ask myself, what's my intention for what I'm about to say?
Yeah. Thanks for saying that. What's my intention for what I'm about to say, he says.
And oftentimes it cuts down on my top. But I also think the intent is not enough. You have to ask yourself, is the timing and the tone and the kindness there as well.
Yeah.
So the, just the intent alone is not, you can get away with a lot by convincing yourself your intent is good.
Right, right. And then following my suggestions, you know, the four suggestions I offered here, I think the third one was giving yourself credit. So do you give yourself credit for clearly a whole collection of good intentions there? Do you?
Yeah, I think I do.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for letting me put you on the spot. I took a little risk there. But I know you a little bit here, and so I thought I could get away with that. Yeah, like right there, my intention was good. Do we register it? You know, are we in real time? I think we're so sleepwalking so much of the time. You know, we're not in real time with what's really happening. You know, we fixate on the cloud. We're not in real time with the sky. You know, we're not aware in real time of our own good inclinations, good plans, good intentions, good efforts, you know, and we don't often give ourselves credit for it. But we notice when we behave badly, right? Or when other people tell us we behave badly. That one really lands. Like, again, tell one on myself. A little earlier today, I saw this email from someone. And so I, you know, I'm in a situation where I teach in a variety of ways. And I'll often have a kind of thing that happens. So I'll do X. Like, I'll do an interview a certain way, or I'll say a certain thing. And I'll get emails from six people. Five people will say, oh man, I love it when you do X. And one person will say, oh man, I hate it when you do X, right? And of course, what does the mind tend to fixate on? Love it, whatever, hate it, oh my God. You know, and then 12 hours of like, brrr. And, right, okay, now I'm probably not alone, like I said. So, but it's really interesting, like with this one that happened most recently, I was mindful of the negative reaction cascade in my mind. I wasn't super sucked into it, but it was present. And you know when it lifted? It lifted when I realized, you know, behind me doing X, which you hate, you know, and you're telling me how stupid and bad it is that I do X when I do my thing, I get it. And my intentions are good, deep down. You know, and then weirdly enough, that enables me to zero in on, okay, how could I do that X a little more skillfully, right? That's legitimate feedback in what you're saying to me. Isn't it weird? It's when we recognize our good intentions that we actually can relax and be less defensive and learn and have a steeper learning curve. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And get caught by it. And so as you were talking, this reminded me of a story that I probably have not quite fleshed out, but this is how I remember it. And I thought, oh, this would be a great practice. So this is a story about in Tibet, there was this story that peacocks thrived on eating poison, and that the more poison that they would eat, what it would do is it would turn into these beautiful feathers.
Hmm.
And so the idea being that if you focus on, or you allow yourself to process the negativity in a different sort of way, you can transform it into this very different and more beautiful situation. So sometimes when, I remember that many years ago, I haven't thought about it until you talked about it, that was a very helpful practice for me. So I just put it out. It's probably out there in its real form on the web somewhere. But that's how, and that's the story of how the peacocks had beautiful feathers.
Oh, that's a beautiful story. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny, too, just when you started speaking, I noticed that the room was getting warm. And what was there for me kind of briefly was, oh, my poor friends are getting hot, you know. I'm kind of like the host in a way. I want my friends here to be happy, and oh, but then I realized, you know, we're going to be done soon, and if we open the door, you in the back will probably start freezing. And so, but my larger point about that, and I was paying attention to you, trust me, the whole time. All that little bubble went by. See, again, real time.
4 seconds.
Yeah, yeah, right? Exactly. Or 2.5, yeah. It's quick. But here's the thing. Our intentions are good even if we can't manifest them, right? It's not, like, for example, it's not within my power to make this room cooler quickly, you know, because we're going to end anyway and blah, blah. But it doesn't mean your intentions aren't good. Just because you can't manifest them or control the world in that way, you can still credit yourself. Right? Okay. Maybe a last comment or great, Tarne.
I was thinking that you can't always guarantee that your good intentions are going to be followed by a satisfactory reaction by other people. You might just have the good intention and you can't judge your good intention based on reaction. You have it and it's pure and maybe it flops horribly. Maybe it blows up in your face. It's not necessarily the reaction that you get.
Yeah, I want to make sure everybody heard that. Just that, you know, the idea being that we can't judge the goodness of our intentions by the results. And just because the results aren't optimal doesn't mean our intentions were not good.
Yeah. Doesn't mean you're a failure. Somehow you were impure.
Yeah.
You didn't do it right. You need to work on yourself.
Yeah.
Maybe you're perfect and it just didn't work.
Yeah. That's great. Thank you. So it's up to you, but you might play around with this. You know, seeing good intentions in others, seeing good intentions in yourself at all levels, conscious and unconscious of all kinds, and then crediting yourself, taking gladness in your goodness, and then, of course, giving over to good intentions. Okay. So let's sit for a minute and let it sink in. Something in the heart relaxes and lets go when you recognize your own goodness. Thank you very much.